You know, it's great. It's good to see him getting back healthy. I mean, the one thing you know about EB is this is killing him to watch. I mean, he loves to play. And so it's, you know, it tears him up not to be out there. But at the same time, we got to do what's smart and make sure that when those juices get going, that everything's okay for the long haul here. So.
Andy Reid talking about Eric Berry returning to practice. I don't think I've seen so much video of a guy crossing his legs as he walks as I saw yesterday on social media. I didn't exactly see him sprint or hit anybody. I don't think he's playing this weekend. I find that hard to believe. I will say, I think it's unfair to Eric Berry to have him play this weekend.
Oh, yeah, I agree with that.
They don't need him this weekend. They shouldn't need him this weekend. At Oakland, the Raiders 2-9, the Chiefs 9-2. Pregame at 2 o'clock this Sunday on Z96.3 Lake. Here's an interesting nugget, though, if you want to get scared of the Raiders, if you're a Chiefs fan. A few years ago, they went to Oakland on a Thursday night. Raiders hadn't won a game. Chiefs lost that game. John Gruden all-time, his record against Andy Reid is 4-1. John Gruden is 4-1 all-time against Andy Reid. Kind of interesting. Andy Reid has had some pretty good teams over the years. So...
I remember one of them teams John Gruden had was really, really good. Won the Super Bowl in one of those games.
Well, didn't win the Super Bowl, but they made it to the Super Bowl.
The Buccaneers won the Super Bowl.
Yeah, the Buccaneers.
Yeah, that's what I'm talking about.
I'm talking about the Raiders. Yeah. When he coached the Raiders.
Yeah, well, when he one of the wins he has against Andy Reid was NFC Championship, and then he won the Super Bowl.
Right,
so.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah, so he's had Andy's number, so we'll see what happens coming up on Sunday. Local sports.
Locker room chats coming up tonight. If you missed our locker room chats on Tuesday or Wednesday, you can listen to those on our podcast at katycountry94.com. And then basketball locker room chats continue tonight as we'll talk with the head coaches of St. John's Tipton, Lakeside, Rock Hills, and Sylvan Lucas. Preview the 2018-19 season here. So stay tuned for that. It'll be around 5:10 this evening or shortly after that. Here on Kitty Country 94. And then coming up tomorrow night, we'll get things rolling with high school basketball. And you can catch our games on Kitty Country 94. It's Beloit at Concordia and also online video stream at ncksports.com on the Beloit Trojan channel. And then also we'll have on Z96.3 through the lake, the Rock Hills Grizzlies hosting the Pike Valley Panthers. Pregame coverage beginning at 5:50 on both stations, and online audio is always at katycountry94.com as well. So looking forward to the start of the season tomorrow night.
All right. Look forward to locker room chats tonight. We look forward to the games coming up tomorrow. All the information available at ncksports.com. Big 12 football honors released yesterday. I'm not going to waste time going through every single person that made it. I tell you the highlights. Offensive player of the year, and this is voted on by the coaches, the 10 coaches. Offensive player of the year, Kyler Murray of Oklahoma. To me, that's a no-brainer. Mm-hmm. Defensive player of the year, David Long, Jr. of West Virginia. Linebacker, a junior. Offensive newcomer of the year, Jalen Hurd of Baylor. Can't disagree with that. Defensive newcomer of the year, Greg Ellsworth of Iowa State. The offensive freshman of the year, Puka Williams of Kansas. I don't know anybody's going to argue about that. First Kansas player to accomplish that. Defensive freshman of the year, Caden Stearns of Texas. Special teams player of the year, Austin Seibert of Oklahoma. Offensive lineman of the year was a three-way tie. Dalton Reisner was one of those, along with two others, to get that honor. And the coach of the year, they went with two of them, Matt Campbell of Iowa State and Lincoln Riley of Oklahoma. It's the fourth consecutive and eighth overall offensive player of the year award for the University of Oklahoma. Of course, Mayfield won it in 15 and 17. D.D. Westbrook won it in 16. And then Kyler Murray winning it this year. But it is interesting that people are all getting riled up, especially K-State fans, getting all mad and upset because Alex Barnes is a first-team running back. And I understand that. But where people are directing the anger is completely misguided. So K-State, this is the don't do your homework, don't do your research, just easily emotionally react. Before you emotionally react, as you're taught by your parents, hopefully, and when you're a parent, you tell your kids, hey, before you blow your top, think before you speak. And if more fans would do that, we'd have a smarter fan base for every team involved. For people to throw out immediately and look at, oh, Puka Williams beat out Alex Barnes for first team all Big 12 running back. Did you notice who the other running back is?
Yeah,
that kept...
I see people. I don't have a problem Puka being on there if there's going to be two running backs. Not the other one.
But a lot of K-State fans are just like just going off and putting down Puka Williams. And it's like, dude, the person you should compare Alex Barnes' numbers to is Justice Hill. Justice Hill and Puka Williams got first-team running back by the Big 12 coaches. And then it's funny because I saw some K-State fans yelling at the media. The media has nothing to do with that happening. Coaches. Yell at the 10 head coaches. Okay? But Justice Hill missed multiple games. He hardly even played against Oklahoma. I was there at that game, and I wondered why he wasn't playing.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? And so, yes, Alex Barnes' overall numbers are better than Puka Williams. In fairness...
Better than any running back in the conference, it's proven.
Right. In regards to yardage. But in regards to yards per carry, it is not.
No.
And if you if Puka Williams had the same amount of carries as Alex Barnes, there's no question Puka would add more yards. And he probably would add more touchdowns and everything else. But I'm not worried about comparing Alex Barnes to Puka Williams because that is misguided. You watch Puka Williams play, you know he's a first-team running back. You know he's one of the top two running backs in the Big 12.
Yeah.
I mean, he lit up Oklahoma. He had every game he'd have a huge long run. And he's a freshman, and he's amazing. He's electric. So K-State fans that didn't watch KU play football other than the game against K-State, if you're ripping Puka Williams and putting him down just to make Alex Barnes look better, it's misguided. It's misguided. If you want to compare anybody, look at the other guy that beat out Alex Barnes for first-team running back, a guy that did not even rush for 1,000 yards,
yeah,
a guy that missed multiple games, okay? And that's Justice Hill. So if you compare Alex Barnes to Justice Hill, 12 touchdowns to 9, yards per game, 113 to 93, yards per carry, Puka was what, almost 7? Somewhere around 7 yards a carry. Justice Hill, 5.9, Alex Barnes, 5.3. Alex Barnes carried the ball 100 more times than Justice Hill. Hill had 930 yards. Barnes, 1,355 yards. Big 12 play, it really shows the difference. And this is not Puka versus Alex. It's Alex versus Justice Hill. Big 12 play, Barnes, 11 touchdowns, Justice Hill, 5. Yards per game, 125 to 93. Yards per carry in Big 12 play, Alex Barnes better than Justice Hill in yards per carry. And total yards, Barnes, twice as many yards as Justice Hill in Big 12 play, twice as many games with 100 yards rushing. K-State fans, I know you don't like Kansas, and I know Kansas doesn't like K-State if you're really diehard, but come on, step back before you blow your top and look at and say to yourself, there were two guys that made first-team running back, and Alex Barnes isn't one of them. Why are you glossing over Justice Hill? Justice Hill clearly had a worse year than Puka Williams. So wouldn't you say that Alex Barnes should be one of the two running backs based on the weakest guy of the two that was chosen? That's who you should compare Alex Barnes to? I mean, overall numbers, Barnes has more than Puka, but Puka has much better than Justice Hill. So if you compare the three running backs, Alex Barnes, Justice Hill, and Puka Williams, they got Puka right.
Oh, yeah.
It's Alex Barnes they got wrong. It should not have been Justice Hill of Oklahoma State. So that's what drives me nuts is people that don't take the time to look at the numbers, people that didn't watch football outside of K-State games, and then just because it's a Jayhawk, immediately you have to put down a freshman who had an unbelievable season and totally ignore a guy from Oklahoma State that had a worse year, and this is sad, we're saying a worse year. He had a good year. Justice Hill had a good year, but it's not really that close to Alex Barnes, and it's not nearly as good as Puka Williams. So if you're going to get up on your soapbox as a K-State fan and talk about the atrocity of Alex Barnes getting snubbed, you're directing the anger at the wrong person. Don't direct it at Puka. Don't direct it at the media. The coaches voted on it. You have to direct your anger, if you want to call it anger, towards the coaches for picking Justice Hill over Alex Barnes, not Puka over Alex Barnes, because the way I look at it is they didn't choose Puka over Alex Barnes. They chose Justice Hill over Alex Barnes.
Well, I look at it as they chose both over Alex Barnes.
Because, well, but there's two spots.
Yeah, but there's two spots. So, I mean, obviously they chose both over Alex Barnes because he's not one of them, and those two are in.
Right.
But in the end, it would be, for me, Puka's first-team running back. I have no problem with that at all. And if people understand and watched football this year, they wouldn't have a problem with that. But Justice Hill is ridiculous as a first-team running back over Alex Barnes, just based on all the numbers, based on what you saw. And, you know, the smart people are talking about that on Twitter, that Justice Hill should not be first-team, Puka should, and Alex Barnes should. I mean, you look at them Big 12 game comparisons, and then there's one guy saying, well, he missed three games. And I'm like, well, I don't care that he missed three games. His average per game was still – 20 less than Alex Barnes in the games that he did play.
Right.
And even more, like you said, in Big 12, what was like almost 30 yards per game less than Big 12 play
yes.
that Justice Hill had compared to Alex Barnes. And I've always been of the thought process that you should probably base this off of Big 12 games if it's an all Big 12 team.
I agree.
Okay, because you're not playing the same caliber of competition in non-conference games
mm-hmm.
for each team. So this should be based on the 9 games that are played within conference. And if you do that, there's not even a single little comparison between Alex Barnes and Justice Hill.
So here's what I'm saying. Alex Barnes should be first-team running back with Puka Williams.
Exactly. And I'm 100%
And if you compare the numbers, it's clear. And the coaches yeah. apparently didn't look at numbers either. Because if you compare Alex Barnes to Puka, Barnes' numbers in Big 12 play are better than Puka's as well. But to me, if there's two spots for running back, Alex Barnes has to have one of them. And Puka gets the other.
Yeah.
So the guy that was put on there that shouldn't have been is Justice Hill. That's the problem you should have if you're K-State fans. Now, if you compare Puka to Justice Hill, Puka had the same amount of carries. I mean, literally the same amount of carries as Justice Hill in Big 12 play. And Puka ran for almost 200 yards more. I mean, so Puka, they got right. To me, I mean, if you got to put two, Puka's yeah. one of the top two running backs. And he did it with a lot less carries than Alex Barnes. So if you watch football, and this is what the coaches did, I think they watch football and they don't get caught up in the numbers as fans and media do. And I think coaches went with the eye test. And the coaches mm-hmm. said, listen, Puka and Justice Hill are electric, more electric than Alex Barnes. And they are. I mean, let's be honest. They are. If you watch all three running backs, Justice Hill and Puka Williams are more electric than Alex Barnes. They are. They're absolutely more electric. There's no question.
Yeah, absolutely.
They're more. They catch the ball better out of the backfield. They can make the bigger plays. But that to me is not how you should be judging who's first team Big 12. Because if that's the case, a guy that plays three games might be super electric, but then gets hurt. Are we putting him first team Big 12?
Dez Bryant was electric.
Who would you rather have on your team? Like
he played three games in his last year at Oklahoma State.
So why wasn't he first team?
And I got all kinds of static one time when I made a Big 12 all-decade team and put Jordy ahead of Dez Bryant. And everybody's like, what are you talking about? Yeah. Well, Dez Bryant played three games in his last year at Oklahoma State, and he didn't have the numbers.
So
like,
do you want the guy that's more productive, or do you want the guy that's more electric?
Well, and here's the thing, too. If you want to talk about – and then sometimes, like, well, we could pick these guys because of their teams and their records. Well, K-State had a losing record. KU had a losing record. And Oklahoma State had a .500 record.
Yeah.
So throw all that out the window.
It's not about
that
winning.
Not, yeah. Okay, so then you go to numbers. You got to go to the actual numbers. And if you go to the actual numbers, Alex Barnes had the best season of any running back in the Big 12. He has to be first team Big 12.
Yards per carry is about the only thing that he's not, right. like, in the major categories.
Yes.
He's tied for touchdowns. He has the most yards and most yards per game.
He's like, not even tied for touchdowns. He's got more than Puka, more than Justice
There's a guy from Oklahoma, the backup from Oklahoma,
Kennedy
had 12
Brooks,
touchdowns. Yeah,
yeah,
Brooks had 12 touchdowns. Yeah. So he tied Alex Barnes.
But you put Barnes versus Puka or Justice Hill, Barnes wins in every single category overall on the season and in Big 12 play. The only one place he doesn't win is yards per carry. That's it.
That's what you're talking about.
Right.
He's not as flashy.
Exactly.
You know, he's not as fast.
Right. He's not
but,
as fast.
But, you know, K-State doesn't run the same offense
exactly.
as those two teams
exactly.
do.
So sometimes you're comparing apples to oranges. So what can you actually compare things to? The numbers.
Yeah.
And the numbers are clear cut. Alex Barnes was the best running back in the Big 12 this year. So he has to be one of the two running backs that make all conference from the coaches. And then once you put Alex Barnes on that team, then you compare Puka Williams to Justice Hill, and you choose Puka Williams. And Justice Hill should be second team. So that's how it should have gone down.
Yeah.
Alex Barnes should be 1A, Puka should be 1B, and Justice Hill should be 2. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
That's the order it should
Hill
have been
and Montgomery
in, which means they got
two,
Puka right,
like, yeah.
and they got Barnes completely wrong.
Yeah.
So I just don't like it when people have to put down other individual players to build up their guy's case. To me, you need to be – it's just like politics. We always got to talk about the problems with the other candidate. Well, what about your platform? What are you going to do to make the world a better place? You know, for me, it's like tout Alex Barnes on how he was the workhorse.
Listen.
He was the guy that was the number one back behind an offensive line that stunk early in the year with a team that rotated quarterbacks and one that couldn't even throw the ball that well and still put up these numbers.
Yeah.
I mean, just make the case for Alex Barnes. Forget Puka and Justice Hill. Just look at Alex Barnes and what he accomplished on a losing team.
Yeah.
And he led the conference in rushing and tied for touchdowns, and he was a workhorse. I mean, and he was even better in Big 12 play. How is he not first team? Is it just a, it's a joke?
Yeah, I mean, if, and I didn't get on Twitter and complain about it, but if, had I done that, all I would have said was, look at the numbers. Alex Barnes is the best running back in this conference.
How is
this
he not
year.
First team?
And how is he not first team? I don't even need to compare him to anybody else. I don't need to say he's better than Justice Hill, Puka Williams, Brooks from Oklahoma, right. Montgomery from Iowa State. I don't need to say he's better because he was.
Right.
Look at the numbers.
Yeah.
It's all right there for
it
you.
Is.
The only thing that's not there for you is yards per carry.
Yep.
And that's because, like I said, K-State had an inept offense half the season,
right.
And he still led the league in rushing.
And maybe you could argue that K-State's offensive line is not as good as the other two. Maybe.
Yeah.
At times this year.
Yeah.
You could argue that. Yeah. I mean, Alex Barnes should be first team. Yeah. I wanted to stress to K-State fans out there that are putting down Puka, it's misguided anger. You should be upset with the coaches for not getting it right, okay? And then you should look at the three running backs, or all four running backs. Put Montgomery in there, Iowa State, too. Which two of those four had the best seasons? And to me, it's clear. It's Barnes and then Puka. But
yeah.
Barnes is one on the list.
Yeah.
And how he's not one of the top two running backs, I agree with K-State fans to be angry about it. I just question how they direct it.
Because yeah.
immediately you see a Jayhawk, well, they're our rival. Let's just put that down.
Yeah.
It's like, no. Justice Hill had a not as good of a season. I hate to say worse. He had a good year. Not as good of a season. That's the guy you should be comparing him to, or both of them. And then say, well, the joke is, the sad thing is that those two combined kept him out. How can that be? You should be really upset with the coaches, not with Justice Hill or Puka Williams. You should be upset with the coaches that voted it this way. That's who you should be upset with if you're a K-State fan right now.
Yeah.
And I'd say the same thing if Puka got left off. If Puka's not the offensive newcomer of the year and they went with somebody else, be like, don't yell at the guy that got named to be the newcomer of the year. He had a good year.
Right.
Get mad at the coaches for getting it wrong.
Yeah. He didn't get a vote on himself.
Right. Right. And it's funny. Oh, the media. The media had nothing to do with
yeah.
it.
Yeah. Somebody came back at K-State media that was complaining about it, and they're like, you guys should have voted better. And Greg's like, the coaches voted on this. I'm going to guess when the AP and the media poll comes out,
I think it'll be a little different.
Alex Barnes will be on the first team.
I would hope so, or then it will be fair criticism. Okay, Dusty and I, you know, listen, sometimes we get things wrong, sometimes we get things right. This whole K-State thing is going exactly like we think it's going to go. We've called this thing like we knew what's going to happen beforehand. To me, is logic. You just use common sense logic. And it's just amazing to me that people are so close to the situation that probably know more things than we do. And then big market Kansas City has sports talk show hosts talking about how, on Tuesday, tomorrow there's going to be an announcement. And I would bet you tomorrow night, Wednesday night, Bill Snyder will have a press conference and talk about stepping down. I wouldn't be surprised if Bill Snyder, why they didn't meet on Tuesday because Gene Taylor's out of town. I wouldn't be surprised if Bill Snyder and Gene Taylor are on a plane ride together talking to Jim Levitt. Are you serious?
What?
Do you truly believe that? Because that's what one talk show host in Kansas City who supposedly knows everything about Kansas State apparently doesn't. It's ridiculous. I mean, come on. I think we're closer to it than this particular person or persons in Kansas City are. And they've been wrong completely over and over and over. And people are so wanting to just apparently move on from Bill Snyder that they're just, it's almost like they're wishing instead of reporting in some cases.
Mm-hmm.
Listen, that we talked about it for weeks. We talked about it for years, actually, that Bill Snyder is a lifer. He is not going to step away willingly. He's not, and if he was, he would have already done it after the Iowa State game Sunday or Saturday night or Monday. And the fact that they weren't going to meet till Wednesday tells you there's a problem here, or that Bill Snyder is really trying to drag this out, or he legitimately is still trying to figure out which way he wants to go. But if he decides he wants to come back, then is K-State going to stop him from coming back? And that's going to take time to battle that out, I think, butting heads and working out details, because there is a clause in Bill Snyder's contract, which I think was a mistake, thought so at the time, giving the guy too much power, was that he would have input in the next head coach at Kansas State. Okay, we can get his opinion, whatever, but there's a clause in his contract. I mean, couldn't it just been a gentleman's agreement? Hey, you're going to have a say. Okay, we know Bill Snyder want Jim Levitt. If it's Brent Venables versus Jim Leavitt, it'll be Jim Leavitt. If it's Jim Leavitt versus about anybody else out there except Sean Snyder, it'll be Jim Leavitt. That's who Bill Snyder wants, Jim Leavitt. We already know with John Kerry's AD, they were already working on trying to get Jim Leavitt to take over when Bill Snyder steps aside. Obviously, Snyder was okay with that. Okay, so that's the talk. But yet, here we are on Thursday, and Gene Taylor and Bill Snyder haven't met yet. They haven't met. Signing period is December 19th. They have 8 commitments, and some that they have players that, you know, Alex Barnes was asked after the season on Saturday, you know, what, you know, based on the coaching situation, are you going to be back next year? He said, who knows? That doesn't sound like a ringing endorsement. No. Alex Barnes for sure is going to be back if Bill Snyder's back. Skylar Thompson, I think, is very smart. He's been quiet about it. You can't tell me Skylar Thompson isn't sitting there thinking about leaving if Bill Snyder comes back next year to be, you know, jerked in and out of the lineup. You can't tell me he's not thinking about it. So all of this is sitting there, and everybody's in limbo. And I feel worse, not for K-State fans, I feel worse for the K-State coaching staff under Bill Snyder. How do you go about doing these things? You don't know. You get a recruit. You can't just sit at home going, oh, I don't think coach is going to be back. Oh, wait a minute. Coach is going to be back. Oh, now I'm behind on the curveball, and I got to hurry up and recruit. Well, you've got to assume Bill Snyder's going to be back. You've got to assume everything's going to stay the same.
Right now, yeah.
Now, K-State fans aren't assuming that. The media is not assuming that. But honestly, we probably should. Until Bill Snyder and Gene Taylor actually sit down and meet and come to a decision, we can speculate all we want that Bill Snyder won't be back, but that's been done year after year after year after year after year after year after year. It's a broken record. And eventually, if you keep saying he's getting fired or he's going to resign, you'll eventually be right. Or maybe you won't, because he'll die on the sideline. And then he wouldn't have been fired and he wouldn't have quit. So this is exactly how Dusty and I have been talking about this for weeks, months, and even years. Bill Snyder is not going to step down as head coach at Kansas State on his own and go, well, you know, I just don't have it anymore. Are you kidding me? If you were, think about this for a second. This is what the media forgets. This is what we forget about, regular fans forget about. Put yourself in Bill Snyder's shoes for 1 second. Just for 1 second. A man that turned around a program that was about to be eliminated, turned it around to where it almost made it to the national championship. Not once, but twice in 2 different eras of coaching. He saved and built the program in 89. He left, brought it back from mediocrity a second time. Now, God forbid, they go 5-7, which for some teams, that's not horrible. Kansas went 3-9, and they're ecstatic.
Yeah.
K-State went 5-7 and lost 4 games by 1 possession or less, could easily add more wins. And it's, and last year, what was K-State's record?
They finished 8-5.
Okay, so it's not like they've had 2 or 3 horrible years in a row.
Yeah.
So Bill Snyder has a bad year. They go 5-7. And if I'm Bill Snyder, and just put yourself in his shoes, I've turned this thing around not once but twice. Why can't I turn it around from a 5-7 year?
Yeah.
And if I still feel healthy enough to coach, why am I going to agree to be forced out? Because that's what his true love is. His true love is not his family. His true love, it's well documented. His true love is coaching. It's football. That's why he came back a second time. Why is he just going to absolutely give up and ride in the sunset being bored out of his mind for the next 10, 15, 20 years he lives on Earth? Why would you give that up? If you were Bill Snyder and you've resurrected the program twice and got him on the edge of being into a national championship or playoff twice,
mm-hmm.
2 different eras, and shown you can come back from bad years right before you retire the first time, why can't you come back from a 5-7 year? I'm talking the perspective of Bill Snyder. And if Bill Snyder is going to be forced out, I can almost assure you of one thing. Bill Snyder is going to want assurances Sean Snyder's on the next staff. And I don't know how Gene Taylor can guarantee that unless he hires Jim Leavitt. And I don't want to see that, and you don't want to see that. And a lot of K-State fans don't want to see that. They'd rather have Brent Venables, which I still think is
there's
a
so game. Many people that are still on Twitter that do want to see it, though, and I still don't get it.
I don't get it.
I don't understand it bit.
I don't want Bill Snyder to be my coach anymore, but I want to go back to a guy at 61 years old who hasn't been a coach for almost 10 years who was a protege of Bill Snyder. Okay, well, I guess if that's what you want, maybe you'll get it. But they still haven't met. And Gene Taylor said, I don't know if we're going to meet today on Thursday. You said you wanted this thing settled by the end of the week. Don't you have to, in order to have this settled by the end of the week, have to meet with the guy? Or does Gene Taylor just say, you know what, Bill Snyder doesn't return my calls, I'm going to make my own decision right now. He's not being cool about it. He's being stubborn. He's being whatever. And we're just going to move on from him without even talking to him. This is just getting worse by the
Gene
day.
Taylor's not going to do that. I don't see that happening.
I don't either. It's going to be worse by the day the longer this goes. Now, I said the other day, the best case scenario, and I'm talking best case realistic scenario, was by the end of this week, Bill Snyder and Gene Taylor meet and get it all figured out. And then next week, Kansas State has a full-fledged search for a head coach. And maybe by the end of next week, you have a new head coach in place. And so many people, and I've heard Riley say it, and I totally respect Riley's opinion, by the way, but Riley was talking about, we were hoping he would have a meeting Saturday night, Sunday, Monday. I'm like, come on. You know who you're covering, right?
Yeah, you knew.
I mean, that's because you're hoping that's going to happen to be convenient for you. And I get it. And Riley's not the only one. A lot of media feel that way.
Yeah.
But if you really look at it, it's not hard to figure out. This guy is going to fight tooth and nail as long as he can up to a point, and it might be that point might be in the middle of a meeting with Gene Taylor where Bill Snyder realizes, I have no chance. Everybody's against me. I have no chance. I'll smile. I'll read a statement saying I'm retired, but I'm not going to like it, and I'll be the best actor I can. Or he's going to fight it as long as he thinks he's got a chance to come back. And maybe he'll be willing to concede and change a whole bunch of things, at least say all the right things, and then go back to being Bill Snyder next year. And they might go 8-4, and next thing you know, people are like, oh, Bill Snyder's still great. You've said it for a long time. Until Bill Snyder has actually stepped aside, he will be the coach next year. And I can't fully disagree with that. I still think there's a lot of pressure to get him out. But this is not going to go smoothly. I heard the talk show host say the other day from Kansas City, oh, wait, don't you think Gene Taylor and him have already talked about these things and this will be really smooth? What? Well, if that's the case, it would have been done Monday. This is not smoothness.
Dude, you guys watch Bill Snyder and listen to what he was saying in press conferences this year. What about this season has been smooth?
Nothing.
And what about Bill Snyder this season has been smooth? No, absolutely nothing. I guess that guy's not in the room with us. I can tell you that right now at press conferences after the game.
Right.
And if you are, you understand that it's not going to be smooth.
Do you think Bill Snyder's a quitter?
No.
God, no. That's the last thing he'd say he is. He's a fighter. He beat cancer for crying. The guy, I forgot to mention, you brought the team from the doldrums in the program twice, and you beat cancer, and you're just going to walk away right now after you went 5-7? It'd be one thing you're 1-11, 2-10. 5-7? You had four close losses? It's not like they got blown out like, Turner Gill all the time at Kansas or Charlie Weiss or Frank Solich at the end of his tenure, or Bill Callahan. Or Ron Prince. That doesn't happen to Bill Snyder. They had one big blowout loss to Oklahoma. Well, there's no shame in that. They're fifth in the country.
Yeah, that's even more impressive than Lance Armstrong, because Bill never tested positive for steroids.
That's as far as we know. right. All right, so we'll continue to follow that story, but I don't know, man. I think it's going to drag out, and it's already drag out like we predicted, and it could go even longer.